This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Some startup tech companies are skipping the cutthroat atmosphere of Silicon Valley and instead opting for the Midwest. Here to tell us a little more about that is Matthew Scher. He wrote an article for California Sunday Magazine about that trend. How did you become aware of this trend of Midwestern tech companies?
It's something I've been watching for a little while, and specifically watching what Steve Case had been doing with companies outside of Silicon Valley. Now, Steve Case started AOL way back in the day, and more recently, after he left AOL in the early 2000s, has been investing heavily in companies outside of Silicon Valley and New York. And he had embarked on this tour, a bus tour, called Rise of the Rest, where he'd visited cities from all over the country and held pitch competitions for companies in each of those cities. Detroit was included. And I've been tracking that for a while, and it just seemed like he'd really started to gain traction, especially in the last few months.
Yeah, you reported that Steve Case noted 80% of the venture capital investments go to the East and West Coast, leaving little to the rest. How successful was that tour? What did they manage to do?
Well, they had a big challenge ahead of them, right? I mean, those numbers that you cite, those are big numbers, right? I mean, a company can start anywhere in the country, right? We could start no matter where you are. Most people will be able to scrounge together enough to have a desk or go to a local incubator and be able to kind of get their company into the first phase. But in order to successfully really grow a company, you need venture capital cash in order to hire other employees and software developers and so on. So people in the Midwest, especially, were facing a major challenge. And Case, to his credit, didn't think of himself as sort of a messiah, that he was going to change everything instantly. What he did think he was going to do was draw attention to these communities around the country to kind of showcase and tell their stories, as he puts it, and to attract other kinds of investment. He's a big figure in the tech world. Press follows him wherever he goes. And in that sense, it was successful. You know, you had each of these tour stops, there were a lot of reporters there, and it did get written up. And as a result, people did start to take these tech scenes a little bit more seriously, and the money has started to flow in since he started doing it.
Yeah, you noted that they used to go looking for investors. Now they're being asked, hey, can I invest in this as well? You mentioned there are some sort of organic benefits of a handful of tech companies establishing in a Midwestern city versus Silicon Valley. What kind of advantages?
Well, the biggest advantage is probably the most obvious one, which is cost. Silicon Valley is notoriously expensive. Manhattan, which constitutes the other major hub, is notoriously expensive. And then Cambridge in Massachusetts near MIT is sort of the third one that people tend to mention, also really expensive. In cities like Indianapolis, which I visited, or cities like Detroit, real estate is cheaper. People can make their money go much further, either by hiring employees or by renting the kind of space and software that they would need to get their company off the ground. That's an enormous advantage. Now, the other advantage is that people in these parts of the country traditionally have had to move to Silicon Valley or New York to try to get their companies off the ground, or if they wanted a big lucrative software job. There's a big benefit in allowing people to stay because there's a happiness quotient, right? I mean, people, generally speaking, would prefer often to stay where they're from, where their family is from, if they can find the opportunity there. And allowing people to do that is a not insubstantial thing, right? It makes for happier employees. It makes for a more cohesive scene, in a sense. And that was certainly the case in Indianapolis, the city that I spent most of my time. You know, a lot of people were from all over Indiana. Some had come from Illinois. Some had come from Michigan. And they were, you know, they were happy to not have to empty out their bank accounts to go to Silicon Valley. They were happy to be where their friends were and where they felt supported.
You also mentioned that it's kind of cutthroat in Silicon Valley, and these companies in the Midwestern cities seem to collaborate a bit more, maybe a lot more, than they would in Silicon Valley. What advantages does that offer?
Yeah, I mean, look, Silicon Valley has been so flooded with hungry entrepreneurs, and there is a lot of venture capital out there, obviously, but the venture capital goes to the people who are hustling 24 hours a day and are really putting themselves out there emotionally. You know, Silicon Valley culture is such a thing that HBO can make a show called Silicon Valley that essentially parodies what that cutthroat environment is like. Now, in places like Indianapolis, it is friendlier. Now, I don't, you know, people talk about Midwest nice, maybe in a pejorative sense. I think that there is a sense that people are friendlier, that they're more supportive, that the scene is a little bit, it's not as far along as it is in Silicon Valley, so everyone's sort of mutually encouraging, and that's a good thing. I mean, I think that the people, if you ask the people that I spoke to and interacted with, if they were happy and felt supported, 99% of them would say yes. And again, that goes to a more productive company, a more productive workforce, if they're happy.
You know, we Midwesterners are a happy lot because generally we just don't know any better. One of the entrepreneurs you featured in your article basically came up with an idea over having coffee with a friend, talking about Flint's water crisis. This character kind of ran through the length of the article. What happened there?
So the woman's name is Megan Glover, and she grew up in Indiana, not in Indianapolis, but in Indiana, and moved to Indianapolis to be a part of the tech scene about 10 years ago. She's in her mid-30s now. And she had seen all this coverage from Flint in Indianapolis. Apparently it was pretty nonstop reports on the Flint water crisis. And what her innovation was she thought, okay, no one is allowing people to go out and test their own water in an easy way. There were home water testing kits, but they were difficult to use or they were expensive. So Glover's idea was, we're going to allow people to buy our product. People will sign on to her website. It's called 120 Water Audit. They'll order the product. A box will come to their house. Inside the box is a beaker. The consumer fills up the beaker with water, puts it back in the box. It's already self-addressed, leaves it out for the UPS man or the mailman, and the mailman takes it to be tested. And a few days later, the results are available on a website. It was something that had not been done with water in this way. And it proved to be, she has an interesting story because she wanted initially to try to target private consumers, individual consumers. But what she found was that the people who really wanted this were school districts, were governments, like the city of Pittsburgh bought her product. And so they will buy large quantities of it and distribute it to their schools or municipal buildings. And it's been a success. It's one of the success stories that is most striking because it is a story that has local roots, right? And this is something that you find with a lot of the companies, a lot of the startups outside of Silicon Valley, that people are looking at local problems that they're hearing about and are trying to engineer solutions. Whereas if you went to Silicon Valley, you know, it's about apps, right? It's about making money from those apps. And I think there is something, it's not always the case. Of course, there are people in Indianapolis and Detroit who want to make money, and as does Megan Glover. But there is a sense in which, okay, we're going to serve this community that we came from in some way. We're going to give back and be successful at doing it.
So bottom line it for us, how significant is tech becoming for Midwest cities, for their economies?
Well, it's huge. You know, I think that it's hard to break the statistics down exactly because you get into kind of a mire of what you're defining as a tech job. But in cities like Indianapolis, you are seeing the business landscape be absolutely transformed by tech and by software. In Indianapolis, the biggest tower in the city is now owned by Salesforce, which is a San Francisco company which acquired a local Indianapolis company for over $2 billion. And you are seeing just an incredible amount of money flow through that city. You see a similar thing in Columbus, and Ohio is another big success. Pittsburgh is another big success. And Detroit is as well. It's not quite as far along because it hasn't had the big, when local companies get acquired for millions or billions of dollars, it creates this groundswell where the people who get bought out typically reinvest inside those communities. And that hasn't happened yet in Detroit, but I think that the hope is that it will soon. And this is not an insignificant thing. It's something that really does have the opportunity to change how these cities operate.
The article's title is Does Tech Need Silicon Valley? Startup founders throughout the Midwest are doing something new. Staying. You can find it online at californiasunday.com. The author is Matthew Scherr. Thanks for telling us about the article.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.